talking about healthcare and the opportunities for small businesses. Healthcare in Nigeria, it's a big issue, a topical issue. I mean, in recent times, we've had different headlines or news around healthcare from Minister of Labor and Productivity.
Saying the doctors, we don't need doctors.
They can go. Actually, I read that article. I read what he said. He didn't actually say that.
So why do newspapers do that?
Because he's a medical doctor by profession. So, you know, so I wonder why. But again, I see why they might have implied that. Because I read them. I read the various paragraphs. So they just cut out some parts of it and just joined. And, you know, it was jumping to conclusions there. He didn't say that. But there's a huge brain drain either way of medical doctors.
Because the minister himself, some time back, when it was being mentioned about housemanship and things like that, and he went, well, the fact that you went to university, because I saw this video. That was why I was actually incensed. The fact that you went to university doesn't mean you have to eventually end up practicing medicine. There are doctors who are lawyers, who are tailors, who are farmers. And I was like, excuse me? You think I went through university for 6 or 7 years or 8 years of my life and I won't want to, you know, struggle for my housemanship?
To an extent, he's right, because I've met people like that as well.
It's a choice.
Yes, at the end of the day. But I've met people who, who just left the medical profession, you know. So two people I know personally.
But it's a choice, Taiwo.
Yes, it is.
People are clamoring for the fact that I want to practice what I want to do, make it available for me to do. So you don't use that as an excuse to say you don't necessarily have to. You don't push me to do what I don't want to do. I'm just saying.
I agree. I mean, sometimes we hear certain things that they upset us. Let's just say it in that way. So from that to the fact that we heard that the president himself is embarking on a 10-day trip, private trip to the UK. The presidency is not saying anything on what he's going to do there. So Nairametrics ran a poll and they asked this question: why is President Buhari going to the UK for a private visit? Option one was to give Brexit advice. Option two was to arrange pizza for import. Option three was medical tourism. And option four was avoid Avengers spoilers.
You guys are just saying nothing. So, I know for one thing, he will never apparently agree with the pizza imports. They will organize pizza.
Okay.
And number two, which one did you say was there again?
So there's give Brexit advice. Bukola is trying to guess which one won. Or he was trying to avoid the Avengers Endgame spoilers.
It could be.
I mean, 9% of people thought, he was going to the UK to give Brexit advice. 15% thought he was going to arrange pizza imports. And 58% thought he went there on medical tourism. And another 18% thought he went there to avoid Avengers Endgame spoiler. I mean, but realistically, I guess the point of the survey is that everybody just feels that
it's a checkup or something.
Yeah, he's gone for a medical checkup, a follow-up on the visits, the medical trips or treatment he's been receiving in the UK. I think it was last year and the previous year or so that he traveled. And that was out of the country for, I think, a total of what, maybe 3 months or thereabout, or 4 months combined.
I guess you see with that, I don't know what he went for. It says private, but if it's some sort of checkup, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. The truth is, we are not top notch when it comes to facilities. I don't want to say we don't have the hands. I believe we have people who can work, but what would they work with?
Okay, so bringing that to facilities, I mean, he also commissioned a state-of-the-art maternity facility at the Aike House last week under the Lagos State, the outgoing Lagos State Governor Commission finished, Governor Ambode.
Right.
And all that there, the Aike House. So it was upgraded from an 80-bed to 170-bed facility.
And maybe we're getting there bit by bit, but we're not there yet.
Again, so, I mean, the whole point of conversation this morning is really, what are those opportunities for small businesses in there? Somebody said, let me try and quote him so that we don't say. So A World Health Organization senior specialist by the name of Babatunde Okunwala said only 4% of Nigerians have access to quality healthcare without facing financial difficulty. So 4% of 100 million is 4 million. 4% of 200 million is what? Maybe about 8 million, thereabout. So we're saying maybe if we're 180 million, maybe around 6 to 7%, 6 to 7 million people, you know, the entire country actually have access to good healthcare, you know, that, and it won't cost them financially. There are a myriad of challenges with the healthcare industry. For example, I found out sometime, was it 2 years ago, that hospitals actually give reports, weekly reports to local governments, you know, on the cases they've treated each week. I'm not sure they go into details as to
private and public hospitals. Names.
The private hospitals, they, you know, they give reports to local governments, you know, and their local governments where they operate, to say, oh, we treated X number of cases of malaria. These are the strings of malaria as well. So they do actually do weekly reports, I think, or every 2 weeks or so, every fortnight.
Is that functional? Because when you look at local governments,
the question is then is, you know, so the chief medical director of the hospital that and that was telling me says he doesn't really know what they do with the reports. Are you sure that they're stacked up somewhere there at the end of this? So there's that part of being able to digitize all that information, because any healthcare professional will tell you that it's more to prevent is actually prevent preventive measures are actually cheaper than trying to correct or to fix something at the end of the day.
It's a good idea. I'm sure probably it's something that was started out way before. But the truth is, how have we worked with those information? Because it will help with community health.
Precisely. Mm. So, if, for example, if you can determine and say, oh, in Ikeja local government, for example, there they've had these are not real figures. I'm just speaking hypothetically.
Yeah, I get you.
So that you have what maybe 1,000 cases of malaria in the month of April, which is about to end, for example, and these are the various strings of malaria and all of that. Then, in that sense, these are the medications that have been given to treat the various strings and so on and so forth, like that. It's a whole lot easier to find out, to plan ahead and do like a forecast, do a trend analysis, and be able to determine and even find out what the causes of that kind of malaria are. You know, is it because of the bad waste management,
filth
and all of that? Where is it coming from? You know, and to look around and say, okay, in this area, if you are within the Ikeja axis, you live within that area and so on and so forth, the hospitals around that, we also say, okay, this kind of drug will be best suited because you guys experience this kind of cases more. Use this kind of drug, it will reduce, you know, the occurrence and so on and so forth. And then it would even help the government be able to make better informed decisions around planning for waste management and so on and so forth, like that. But right now, a lot of it is just guesswork.
Do we work with information? We don't work with information.
We don't. So, I mean, when you go to the hospital, you know, which is sometimes I'm very, very, what do you call it there? I'm very, very, most times I'm reluctant to go to hospital, not because of anything, because the first thing they tell you is prescribe is anti-malaria and they say you go and do a whiteout test, anti-malaria and typhoid test at the end of the day, you know. And the question I ask is, even for children, you know, those are the first thing they say, malaria, just give them malaria. There's no way they won't have malaria or something. Just give them, you know. So, and I'm beginning, I'm wondering to myself and saying that, look, we're not saying that it's not there, but there should be a way and, you know, to be able to deal with these kinds of things, you know. But then again, some people have decided to tackle it, you know.
Private establishments coming up to...
Yeah, so the private establishments trying to provide, use technology to be able to help hospitals, you know, make better decisions, digitize their processes so that they're a bit more efficient. And once you're more efficient, you can gather more data. You can gather data better in a more effective way, in a more productive manner, and use that data to be able to make better decisions for yourself as an organization. And if maybe only government can only latch onto that as well. I've seen a situation where these guys also, I think they're called Gerocare, you know, met them sometime last year. They also do something similar. But
old people?
Yeah, for old people. You know, so they actually provide a service where you can actually subscribe to them and provide healthcare, or get doctors to check in on your elderly ones, your loved ones, your parents, your uncles, your aunts, your guardians. You know, just check up on them every maybe once a month, or you know, based on whatever frequency of visits you schedule with them at the end of the day, so that they're not bogged down with constantly carrying them to hospitals and so on and so forth, and you have some kind of peace of mind that at least you know a doctor still went to go and do a checkup with them. Because some of these elderly people, you know, when you tell them, you say, I'm not going there, I'm going to drink agbo, I'm going to drink my tea, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and all of that. Or somebody's prescribing something for them over the phone without actually doing some kind of investigation.
Is that the comfort of their homes?
You know, so it's at the comfort of their homes, and the doctors just go in and do like home house visits, you know, for you. I found it rather interesting, and I mean, it's something that I said that to myself, that it eases your mind off a lot of stress, because you know that once they have the regular checkups, at least you can follow up with the doctor and begin to see what areas of improvement they need. You know, so whether it's their diet, whether it's some kind of medication, whether it's even the lifestyle in general, you know, reducing the number of places they go to. You know, some of these elderly people, they say, this person is doing one with it. This person is doing one funeral. This person is doing one birthday. This one is doing something.
That's the form of activity. Yes. Working. So that's the only way to socialize.
I don't have any problem with that. But, you know, when it begins to affect your health, and when your health needs some consideration, you know, and that's why you need a professional to come in there. Because if you tell them, the first thing they will tell you is, they can't stay at home. Why would they stay at home? They just be bored and do nothing. And so I found that very interesting, you know, with the kind of solution that GeroCare
provides
in itself. There's some other guy, we're hoping to be able to bring them on the show, but we haven't been able to do that. But they do a thing they call Swift MediSpark in the sense. So they also use technology to try and provide services to hospitals, you know, by helping them digitize their processes, and also help them use technology in ways that they probably wouldn't have thought about it, in terms of customer relations, in terms of even in terms of marketing, even in terms of organization and administration as well, you know, organizing their finances and so on and so forth like that. So there are a lot of opportunities there. I mean, we could talk about the HMOs as well. There are so many opportunities. I mean, the HMO one for me is one of the most mind-boggling ones, because it's a multi-billion naira industry in Nigeria. And the fact that most times you still have to literally go to a hospital with a card. Okay, that's fine. You go with a card. But then you go there and then go out there. You try have to check a list, which is sent to them periodically from the HMO. To say if your name is not on that list, then you cannot risk, you're no longer, your plan,
probably would have
you're not covered, you know. For that visit, you go to the hospital. And some of them now have started doing it online, such that once you go there, you just check your number and then put it up there. Back again to infrastructure. How many hospitals would use internet more frequently?
So it's about digitizing your data.
You know, at the end of the day. And this is an area where I think small businesses can fill in the gap here to an extent. We have some people who are doing it, because if we say government, it's almost saying it's almost just going around in circles. But you know, when you have the likes of wifi.com.ng or Tizeti, you know, who are providing Wi-Fi services in themselves, I think if there's the opportunities for small businesses to be able to do something similar with for the healthcare sector, you know, how do you connect hospitals, you know, to how do you get them connected online? How do you connect them to HMO? How do the HMOs get connected and all that? So that people can literally get healthcare and not be bogged down with, I don't have coverage. So you get there. It's a lot better now, to be honest. I mean, some years ago, you would have to call when you get there, or you call ahead before you go to the hall, to the doctor. You call the HMO, and they will actually have to send them a code.
Very cumbersome process.
You know, so it's been a bit, there's been a bit of improvement in how all of that has come through. But healthcare generally is one that is fraught with a lot of challenges.
It is.
Then we have the ones where we're talking about the brain drain. Maybe we'll talk about that in a bit, you know. And then to talk about the advancements and various advancements in healthcare, things like telemedicine, when are we going to start looking at doing some of those kinds of things? You know, I know some colleges of medicine here are actually trying to do that as well. I know that the University of Ibadan is already using something like that, at least for learning and knowledge exchange for the for UCH College of Medicine in College of Medicine here in Lagos as well. I know of a department because we deployed something for them there as well. You know, to be able to come down some kind of knowledge exchange as well. It's a teleconference facility as well where they can do knowledge exchange, and hopefully they'll be able to scale it to for telemedicine in the future in that sense. Again, the major challenges around these things are actually internet, the bandwidth, you know, how available is that infrastructure and how reliable is that infrastructure to support you know, what they need to do. Then there's also power, which we talked about today. Mm. You know, so again, opportunities for small businesses within the healthcare.
But you know, we've talked a lot about small businesses, and the angle we've looked at it from was basically urban, but how about the rural? How can we, you know, reach out to the rural as well? It's very key.
So, I mean, there are a lot of, there are people who are doing that. I mean, so almost like, I wouldn't say mobile clinics, but people who are running clinics, you know, doctors who go there. When you look at, it's almost similar to what Doctors Without Borders do, you know, where they go to different parts of the world, where they're without war-torn countries, or there's a lot of poverty, and they go in there and just doctors just volunteer and go. You know, so there are always those kinds of outreaches that are going on there. But even in, let's even look at Nigeria, for example, there. The questions within for the rural penetration again would be for whoever the doctor is or the people that are running the practice is the economic capabilities of such communities. Are they able to afford their services, you know, when they go there? These things, some of these things are cheap, but when you look at them in volume, I mean, a drip can cost you maybe 500 naira or something at the end of the day, you know, but the reality is 500 times 100, 500 times 1,000.
You know, this is where we'd have more social preneurs, like they say.
Precisely. So somebody they have to figure out a way to be able to get those things funded. You know, I mean, in Kigali, in Rwanda, you have a drone service that delivers blood. Mm. You know, so it actually should. So because it's quite a hilly area, the mountains, you know, the whole region, and it takes a long time for vehicles to move from the city center where the blood banks are to delivering blood within those communities. So I know creating roads and all of that is a long time endeavor. So these guys started a service where they actually use drones, mm-hmm. and those drones then use coordinates to actually
get to
and then they deliver the blood, you know, and then go back to their base and then move on like that. So they do that in Rwanda, you know. So and I think it's one of the first in the world.
Quite innovative.
Actually, you know, so there's quite a lot of opportunities in healthcare for small businesses as well.
All right, we'll take a break on Business Half Hour this morning. We'll be right back. Taiwo Oyewole in the studio. We're talking about opportunities that are actually bound in the healthcare sector. And that is a Monday motivation song for you this morning. Smile, even if you're feeling under the weather. If you're feeling the Monday blues, smile, shake it off. You're listening to Classic FM 97.3, Business of Art. How are you all here with me? We're talking opportunities that actually abound in the health sector for entrepreneurs who decide to start off something.
Yes, welcome back, Lagos. Thank you, Bukola. We're still talking about business opportunities for small businesses in the healthcare sector. While we were on break, I was talking about people who've taken advantage of various gaps in the sector. We talked about GeroCare earlier on. We've talked about people who are trying to do things with technology, people like MediSpark. I mentioned some the people like the Flying Doctors, you know, who airlift people with medical emergencies, and so on and so forth. And we talked about the guys who deliver blood through drones in Rwanda, you know, and again, what are those opportunities here? I, for one, know that quite a number of hospitals actually aren't online. You know, they haven't been online. Infrastructure is a big issue for them.
Right.
Because when they consider the cost of internet, you know, and even keeping that on through power, I mean, there's been a massive power, what do you call it, shortage in Lagos of recent. Or is it a nationwide thing? I think it's a nationwide.
It is.
It's a nationwide issue. So when you consider the cost of them having to power their diesel gens, you know, and still provide their services at the end of the day, you know, it just makes it a bit more cumbersome for them to become more profitable. But again, like I said, so there are infrastructure challenges, whether it's based, whether it's soft infrastructure or whether it's hard infrastructure. There are technological challenges that some of the hospitals actually face in themselves. Some hospitals have it sort of okay, where you can actually, if they have more than one location, you can actually go in between both locations, and there's an exchange of data, you know, and all of that, that makes it a whole lot easier for them. But some, it's a bit more cumbersome, even for the HMO segment, like we were saying earlier on. You know, there's massive opportunities in there. We can't highlight every single thing here.
And even with case files,
yes,
it should get to a point that when probably a patient is referred to another hospital or referred abroad, you don't necessarily have to go with a physical case file or whatever. You already have your information online, of which you would now grant the other hospital on the other end some sort of code to have access, since it's a referral from your end to the hospital.
Yeah.
I think it only makes life easier.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't remember, but I think in recent time I had that conversation with somebody. We're having a discussion on something there. And one of the things we were talking about were privacy concerns, security, and so on and so forth like that. Again, but you're right, you know, to just make things a whole lot seamless in that sense. I mean, I've seen telemedicine where there's a guy, a doctor in Canada. He has a dental practice. So he had this telepresence robot, you know, has cameras on it and all that. So he controls it from wherever he is in the world. And then when his junior doctors come around, he's telling them what to do on the procedure with their patients, you know. So because he had several clinics, you know, and just uses the robot to sort of essentially, so he had more of those robots in every location. Whenever he's not there, he has the junior consultants or the junior doctors to, he guides them on what procedures to be able to run through in that sense. So again, you know, healthcare is not just about owning hospitals. It's not just about owning a clinic. You know, there are various forms of healthcare that can be rendered, various services within the healthcare profession, the healthcare industry in itself. And those are some of the opportunities we're trying to highlight here, you know, as we speak. I mean, even look at the guys who do the, look at even Google, the Fitbits, even Samsung and so on and so forth. All of them who have these apps that monitor your movement, how many steps you've taken, things like your calories and so on and so forth, with all the smart devices and so on and so forth there. What are the extensions? What are those things we can do? For example, we're heavy on, even if it's just nutrition, you know, that's part of healthcare as well. We're heavy on carbohydrates, for example, in this part of the world, you know, especially within the Southwest here. We're heavy on carbohydrates. That's really helpful. Exactly. You know, so you give some people, offer some people some food. So I'm like, what kind of food is that? Go and give me proper okili. You know, that kind of thing. So
what you need it in this environment.
So even if it's in terms of from a nutritional perspective, how can you use technology to be able to do that, you know, to be able to improve that? Because it makes it a whole lot easier. You can't reach everybody physically, you know, in that sense. Again, healthcare is beyond you being a doctor. It's beyond you being a nurse. You don't have to be, you don't have to go and get a medical degree or a nursing degree to actually operate within the healthcare space. For example, you actually don't have to be a doctor to run a hospital. You don't have to be.
But you won't be hands-on.
No, but because the administration, the administrative side of the hospital is completely different from the technical side of the hospital, where you actually have to work on patients or work with patients. You know, you actually don't have to be. So there are those opportunities there as well.
But it's understanding the system and how to put it in place for things to work effectively.
Is exactly, you know. So again, like I said, when you have some certain people who are taking advantage of those things, and that's, I once knew of an app as well. I can't remember what it's called now, where they provide guides, a pharmaceutical guide as to where you can find certain kinds of drugs, which pharmacies you can find them, and then they provide reminders on when it's time to take your drugs. So notifications, you know, and when it's time to take your medication, so you don't forget. When it's finished, send a notification to a pharmacy to say, look, we're out of stock. We need to replenish, you know, these drugs. You know, especially for people who have lifelong diseases. Mm. Is that what they're called? I'm not sure, but who have diseases that are, you know,
terminal.
They don't necessarily have to be terminal, but okay, things that they have to manage, that maybe okay, they don't have cures, but they have to manage, maybe in cases of diabetes, oh, okay, you know, and okay, so on and so forth, or maybe people that have hypertension and so, yeah. So where they're constantly on medication, you know, so those kinds of systems, you know, help ease the burden and the process of having to, oh,
like
I need to go to a pharmacy to go and get some things. I mean, there are quite a number of people, they don't even actually get those drugs here. They look for people abroad to say, okay, these are the drugs they prescribed. Help me when you find somebody coming, help me send the drugs through, you know, and, you know, we'll get them there. So a lot of opportunities, even for childcare, for example, you know, there's so many opportunities within the healthcare space for children as well. There are children with all sorts of, whether it's impairments, disabilities, and so on and so forth, there that they need specialists in those areas there. And those specialists aren't a lot, actually, you know. So even for, you'd be shocked as to the ratio of pediatric dentists, you know, in Nigeria, it's actually, the number is actually quite small. Dentists who actually are specialized in
with
kids, you know, working with them with their teeth, you know. So, and they're highly sought after on the local plane. So, brain drain, talent shortage, and so on and so forth. The key is that the healthcare sector in Nigeria requires some kind of intervention, emergency intervention, you know, to be able to, both from the human resource perspective, from the technological perspective, even to the entire administration of the healthcare sector in Nigeria.
All right, thank you very much, Taiwo, for coming on this morning and is opening our eyes to opportunities that actually you're bound to. If you're thinking of starting out something, passionate about the health sector, you've gotten some ideas from Taiwo this morning on Business Half Hour. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much.